I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy 4, and I will be quoting one verse from Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 34. That is really the basis for the message. So if you want to turn there, Proverbs 14, 34 and Deuteronomy 4, you'll be where we need to be at for the message this morning. We know from Scripture that the Lord God promised Abraham that He would make of him a great nation and give his seed the land that the Lord God showed him. Now, as for the Lord, our God, we know that He's a great God. Amen. We know that. He's a great promise-keeping God. When God makes a promise, He carries through on His promises. He delivers. God kept His promise to Abraham and made the nation of Israel a great nation and caused them to inherit the land that He showed Abraham. But before God brought Israel to the land, He warned them of some things that might cause them to fall from their greatness and even bring a curse on them. And I'm going to read about this in Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1. It says here, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land where ye go to possess it. It says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all in this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." We know that they did not listen to the Lord. Consequently, they did not obey the Lord, and indeed that brought them down as a nation, just like the Lord had said. Their sin became a reproach. The word reproach means that it brings shame and disgrace. Proverbs 14, and verse number 34, is a passage that makes it very clear that righteousness is what exalts a nation. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We see an example in Scripture that sin was a reproach to Israel. And back in 1776, God also made our nation a great nation through the righteous actions of our forefathers. The only promise our forefathers had when this nation was founded was Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It doesn't just apply to Israel. It applies to any nation. And tomorrow is going to be the 247th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence that birthed our great nation. Our nation was once exalted by God because of the righteous principles upon which He was established. And I want you to make no mistake about it. God has blessed our nation because of its foundation in those righteous principles. That's where we found the blessing at for so many years. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C. and read the many different inscriptions on the memorials that are around that city, you can't help but notice that they're full of scripture, full of references to God, and a very testimony that the founding of our nation was upon righteous principles. Many leaders from our past have spoken it as well. As the Declaration of Independence was being signed, Samuel Adams said the following. He said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." Benjamin Franklin, June 28, 1787, at the first Constitutional Convention, said this. He said, "In the beginning, our contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard and graciously answered." He went on to say, "We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without His concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." And the will of Patrick Henry, who gave the famous speech, "Give me liberty or give me death," he wrote these words. He says, "I have now disposed all my property to my family. There is one more thing that I wish I could give to them. That is the Christian religion. If they had that, and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that, and I had given them the world, they would be poor." Over and over again, we could read quotes like this from our founding fathers. And to say that our nation was not founded upon Christian principles is to ignore recorded history. It's being more ignored in our day than ever before, and they're trying to change it. If the left had its way, they would sandblast every word of God that is inscribed on the memorials in our nation. Attempts are being made to wipe out the name of God from our foundations. Psalm 11, verse 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" I'll answer that question in the end. Amen. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Listen, reprobates abound now, when they used to be very few. Romans 1:28 says, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Why are we seeing reprobate minds so manifest in the day and time in which we live? It's because there are folks who don't want God in their knowledge. They deny God. They deny His rulership over them. Sadly, we know and can see that our nation has strayed far from her righteous foundations, and our nation has suffered and is suffering for it. Many of the principles that made our nation great are being abandoned and cast aside for that which other great nations, including the nation of Israel, were brought down because of. Many of the things that caused Israel to fall and brought shame and disgrace are some of the same things that we see happening in our own nation. I don't want to look this morning at some of these things. As we look at this subject this morning, the reproach of sin. The reproach of sin. Sin, of course, means to miss the mark. When we sin, we've missed the mark that God has set. I want you to see from our passage of Scripture this morning. Look back there once again at the first verse of Deuteronomy in chapter number 4. Notice what the Lord said to them. It says, "Now therefore hearken." That's a key word. "Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." Reproach came when they missed the mark of hearkening to the words of the Lord. Understand that a failure to hearken may be caused by negligence, may be caused by fear, or it may be caused by rebellion. The word hearken means to hear intelligently. It doesn't just talk about hear something. She's talking about to hear it intelligently, which implies both paying attention and being obedient. And over and over again in Israel's history, it can be seen that when things weren't going well for them, it was because they didn't hearken to the words of the Lord. Can I tell you the reason why things aren't going well with our country? A lot of times it's because we failed to hearken to God's words. Sometimes they were just negligent to hear. It's kind of like a child. You know, those of you that have children, I guarantee you on more than one occasion, you told them to do something, and they didn't do it. And you said, did you hear what I told you? Right? Did you hear what I told you? Sometimes they hear, but they don't hear. You know what I'm talking about. That's because they get distracted by other things, causing them to neglect hearing what they should be hearing. And could I tell you, we are living in a very distracted society right now. I mean, all you got to do is just look at folks walking down the road or walking around in Walmart, and you know their face is glued to that phone. And they're not really paying attention to what's going on around them. It's not a good thing. Sometimes they were only neglectful of hearing, but sometimes Israel was, they were fearful to hear. In the book of Numbers, we read where the Lord God told Israel to go in and possess the land that he was giving them. We know they refused to do so because they listened to the evil report of 10 of 12 spies that went in. Only two spies, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report and said, hey, God's give us the land, we can go in and take it. But the 10 spies said, oh, you don't understand, these people were big people. Oh, it was plenty full of milk and honey. It was a good land, like the Lord said it was going to be a good land, but man, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. What happened is, the context says there that they did fear. They didn't go into the land because of fear. They feared the people of the land rather than fearing God. They should have feared God more than fearing other things. Listen, when you fear God, you hear Him and are obedient to Him. When you fear other things, you wind up being in disobedience. Just plain and simple. That not only delayed their possessing the land, but everyone age 20 and above died in the wilderness while Israel wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Their children inherited the land, but they sure didn't. Sometimes Israel was too rebellious to hear. Recently in our Wednesday night services, we were looking at some of the history of Israel and Judah. In fact, a good portion of the history as we went through 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. And from there we saw some of the prophecies that God sent their way. Before Judah was carried away captive to Babylon, the Lord sent them His word by many of the prophets, but one of the prophets was Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 6:16, it says these words, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." We're not going to do that. That's what they were saying. They liked doing their own thing better than the old paths. Could I tell you that's where we're at in our nation today? People don't want the old paths. They don't want you to talk to them about God and what God's will and God's word is for their life. Jeremiah 6, verse 17 also says, "Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken," there's that word, "hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We will not hearken." And the Lord told His people in Jeremiah 22:21, He said, "I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou sayest, I will not hear." Now I want you to get this. When they abandoned the Word of God, they also abandoned the understanding and wisdom that goes with it. Look down at verse number 6 of our text here. The Lord tells them here, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom." Talking about the statutes and judgments that God commanded them. So this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The Word of God brings understanding. Understanding is knowledge. It is the comprehending, the apprehending of ideas and a sense of another, or of a writing learned or being informed. The Word of God not only brings understanding, which is knowledge, but it also brings wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. It's how you apply knowledge. And according to the dictionary, it is the right use of or exercise of knowledge, the choice of laudable ends and of the best means to accomplish them. Now, when Israel obeyed the Word of God, it was evident to others that the Lord was near to them. The latter part of that verse tells us that. Those of you that were with us on this past Wednesday night, we saw that when the spies were sent into Jericho to spy out the land, and Rahab said, "You guys don't understand. You know, we heard what the Lord did to you, bringing you out of Egypt, and how he took Egypt down, and how he's also the two kings of the Amorites were taken out by y'all. We heard, and the people are shaken." Basically, she didn't say in those exact words, but she was getting to the point of, we know that from hearing what the Lord has done, that it's not going to go well with us. And that's why she decided she was going to go to the other side. And she helped those two spies out. When they obeyed the Word of God, it was evident to others that the Lord was near to them. But when they forsook the Word of God, they forsook the blessings, prosperity, and success that are attached to the Word. We've recently seen in our Wednesday night services, as we studied Psalm 1, just recently, we were in Psalm 1 and studied the whole thing, talking about how the benefits of the Word of God, what a blessing it is, and how it brings about prosperity and success in one's life. Then in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, in our introductory message, we hit it again, because God had told Joshua that he was to stay in the book. He was to make sure he did what the book said, because that's where he would find the prosperity, and that's where he would have good success. But reproach came when they missed the mark of hearkening to the words of the Lord. Second of all, reproach came when they missed the mark by changing the words of the Lord. Verse number 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. What a blessing. Just take the Word of God like it is. Oh, but if you change it, there's a problem. When you change the Word of God, you miss the mark, and you bring reproach. The Lord has been very clear about the matter of His Word. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, He says, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it, that thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Joshua 1, 8, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Proverbs 30, verse number 6 says, "Add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar." We're living in a time when folks are changing the Word of God to their own, what they want it to say. When Nancy Pelosi quotes a verse of Scripture and tries to justify wickedness, you know there's a problem. What she has done is she adds to or takes away, and she's not the only one. Changing can be in the form of adding to God's Word, that is, saying that God said something that He did not say, and that's a big problem today. A lot of folks are saying, well, you know, abortion is the Lord's work. No, no, no. Abortion is murder. That's what God says. It's murder. changing him in the form of diminishing God's word, perverting what God has said, saying, oh, yeah, it says that, but that's not what it says. It says something else. When one changes God's word to something that it isn't, then that means that they are keeping God's word. They're not keeping God's word as it was given. I mean, I'm going to say that again. When one changes God's word to something that it isn't, that means that they are not keeping God's word as it was given. And you can't keep God's word if you change it. You know? If it's not saying what God said it, and you're keeping that, you don't say that you're keeping God's word, because you're not. You're keeping what you changed it to, not what God had it there for. We've seen a proliferation of Bible versions in our lifetime, all in the name of trying to understand the Bible better. But the problem really wasn't that people didn't understand God's word. The problem has been the area of obedience to it. It's been in the area of obedience. People don't understand. It's just they don't want to obey. We've seen both politicians and people change God's word try to mean something else, to try to justify their evil ways, and to do so brings reproach on our land. It brings reproach. A third thing I want you to notice in verse 3 and 4 here is reproach came when they missed the mark by not paying attention to God's dealings with the sins of others. He mentions a particular instance here in verse 3 and 4. It says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Now, I'm not going to take time to turn to those passages. If you want to write them down and check them out, Numbers 25, verses 1 through 9. And then it's mentioned again in Joshua chapter number 22, verses 16 through 18. But here's the point. The Lord was wanting them to learn from history. When we don't learn from history, we're destined to repeat it. We just aren't. Specifically, these two verses speak of how the Lord showed his displeasure with the people of Israel that committed whoredom with the Moabites by slaying 24,000 of them. I want you to turn to a New Testament passage that talks about this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Not only talks about this, but it talks about the example that's given to us in Scripture. You say, well, why are you preaching from the Old Testament today trying to get us to understand these things? Because the Lord said that we need to pay attention to what has happened in the past, lest we repeat the same mistakes in the present. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, I want you to notice, beginning with verse number 5, and this is talking about those that were with Moses, and you know, they had the blessing of coming out of Egypt, and they had the blessing of seeing all the great wonders in the wilderness. Verse 5 says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Notice 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And goes on and elaborates on this, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them, and fell in one day 23,000. That's the reference there of what we're talking about that happened with the Moabites. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. What Paul is saying here is that the sins of Israel in the Old Testament Scripture and God's dealings with them that sinned against him should be examples for all of us as believers. Sadly, our own dear nation has not learned from the Lord's dealings with Israel and Judah as we should have. And now we're paying a steep price as a nation. We're paying a very steep price. I want you to notice something else. Back to our passage in Deuteronomy and chapter number 4. And this is found in verse number 9. Reproach came when they missed the mark by not taking heed to the things that really mattered. Look at Deuteronomy 4, verse number 9. It says, only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Two points here. First point is reproach came when they missed the mark by not taking heed to the things that really mattered. They failed to take heed to themselves. Look at verse number 23. Verse number 23, the Lord said, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And when they violated God's word, you know, and God came against them, they were like, what happened? You know, I thought God was on our side. Well, God's on your side. You got to be on his side. Amen. And they failed to take heed to themselves. And for us today, it would include the things that we know that we ought to be doing for the Lord. I mean, Israel knew what they needed to be doing. Do you know the things that you ought to be doing for the Lord? I'm talking about things such as church attendance, Bible reading, studying the Bible, prayer, you know, giving to the Lord. I'm just talking about things that we ought to know if we're believers. They failed to take heed to themselves. They failed to keep their soul diligently. That's the words that were used there. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Can I tell you there's more wickedness out there to fill your heart with than there ever has been before? And sadly, many believers are filling themselves with the things of this world rather than with the Word of God. You're failing to keep your soul diligently when you do such a thing. They forgot the things they had seen. He talks about, you know, you need to pay attention to what you've seen in your days. The things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart. Listen, they forgot God's works, wonders and judgments and mercies. They just did. Psalm 105 verse 5 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Psalm 106 verse 7 says, our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. I mean, God did a great thing in bringing them out of Egypt. And they no more got out of Egypt, got to the Red Sea, which was not very far down the road from where they left Egypt. And they forgot all about God. They'd already forgotten at that point what God did, those 10 plagues that God brought on Egypt to bring them out of Egypt. They forgot the things they had seen. They forgot God's benefits. Psalm 103, verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Have we benefited from God as a nation? We most certainly have. But I'm afraid that too many have forgotten the benefits of the Lord. Many have worshipped the benefits rather than the benefactor. Worship the blessings rather than the blesser. They forgot God's way. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 2. Deuteronomy 8 verse number 2. Says here, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Skip down to verse number 10. Not only did they forget God's way, they forgot God himself. Verse 10. It says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Notice verse 14. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Sadly, a lot of folks in Washington think, well, we just got this way because we just got great people and we did it ourselves. No, we did it because of God. Look at verse number 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou wilt do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Did that happen? It most certainly did. You can read about it. We studied about it in Scripture. They forgot God's way, they forgot God himself. Psalm 106, verse 21, the psalmist says, they forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Deuteronomy 32, verse 18 says, of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Something else I want you to pay attention to back in our text there in verse number 9 is the very last phrase of Deuteronomy 4, 9. Says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Reproach came when they missed the mark by failing to teach the next generation. They failed to teach the next generation. Look at chapter number 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 6 and 7. Here's where the Lord commanded them. It says, and these words which I command thee this day, and the words he's commanding, look at verse number 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. But what happened? I'll have you turn to one other place. Judges, chapter number 2. Judges, chapter number 2. God told them, be diligent about this. Teach your children and do it diligently. Judges 2, verse number 10. Says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Talking about the generation of Joshua. Okay, let's back up to verse number 7, just to get the context. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Okay, and Joshua passes off the scene, and so do all the others that had seen all those things. Verse 10, also all that generation were gathered in their fathers, and there rose another generation, notice this, after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. What's the problem? They weren't diligent. They didn't teach their children like God told them to teach their children. And what was the result of it? Verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Reproach came when they missed the mark by failing to teach the next generation. Back to our original text, Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. How do we remedy that? Well, the remedy begins with God's people. I call to mind 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says this. You're familiar with it. We just sang about it a little while ago. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Can I tell you, the main problem is with God's people. It's really not with the heathen of this world, or the heathen of our nation. We look at our problems and say, well, you know, all our problems are in Washington, or all our problems are with, you know, those people that don't know the Lord. No, the problem is a lot to do with God's people not having done what God told them to do. It begins with us. So, what are we going to do? Are we going to live with the reproach of sin? Are we going to do something about it in our day? Let's hearken unto the words of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father,